Coming up next from the Grassy Knoll, a terrifying look into the Orwellian world of brainwashing, disinformation, and ultimately, control over you. You. Listening to Dade City Community Radio 102.9, the Grassy Knoll, and this is Dr. Daffodil Swain, and I have my friend the Visigoth here. And what are we going to be talking about today?
First of all, I'd like to ask whether this is true. I heard a rumor that you, as a young man, actually ran for the mayor's position of Albany, Georgia.
That's correct.
Not once.
But twice.
And?
Lost both times.
Can't win them all.
No. Actually, I did better the second time. First time I ran as an independent. The second time I ran as a Republican.
So you get five more votes?
Actually, I did a whole lot better.
Okay. The cemetery voted on that one?
Yeah. I think I had 58 votes on the first one, though.
God bless
out
you.
Of 22,000 registered voters. However, I got 37% of the vote in a three-way race.
However, you got the clue that you probably didn't have a career in politics.
That's true. Now, keep in mind that the second time that I ran against the incumbent mayor who owned the city's only daily circulating newspaper and at that time owned the city's only television station. So I have my hands full.
So much for media conglomerates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. James H. Gray, who was a carpetbagger from Boston.
But you're not bitter anymore, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. What we're going to do is talk about the Bohemian Club. Have you heard of that, Dr. Swain?
This is the Stroh's Brewery people?
No.
Bohemian? No, we're talking about something else.
Yeah, you're thinking like...
I'm thinking beer.
You're thinking Bach beer.
Isn't Stroh's Bohemian beer? It says right on the can.
If it says it on the can,
it's got to be true. Exactly. All right. Anyway, what's the Bohemian Club?
All right. The August 2nd, 1982 edition of Newsweek magazine reported, quote, "The world's most prestigious summer camp, the Bohemian Grove, is now in session 75 miles north of San Francisco. The fiercely guarded 2,700-acre retreat is the country extension of San Francisco's all-male, ultra-exclusive Bohemian Club to which every Republican president since Herbert Hoover has belonged." McLean's magazine, March 23, 1981, reported, quote, "Each summer for three weekends, this year's will be the 103rd.
This sounds like a big...
I hate these dependent clauses. Each summer for three weekends, this year's will be the 103rd, nearly 2,000 Bohemians with guests in tow, speeding by car and corporate jet to their guarded grove close by the hamlet of Monte Rio on the Russian River. The grove's Shakespearean motto, weaving spiders, come not here, is an injunction to forget wheeling and dealing, which is widely ignored."
Now, who owns the Bohemian Grove? Do you know? I don't want to break your thought train, but...
I know it goes back to the 1870s, and I think it was basically a retreat for the Bohemians, artists and, writers and such. Let's see. "While ruling class cohesiveness rarely lets slip details of accommodations arrived at there, some, such as the 1967 agreement by Ronald Reagan over a drink with Richard Nixon to stay out of the coming presidential race, have helped mold America's destiny." So they get things done there, the GOP. "Oddly enough, reporters are barred from this club, formed one night in 1872 by five bored news hawks on the old San Francisco Examiner to promote good fellowship and to, quote, help elevate journalism to that place in the popular estimation to which it is entitled," unquote. So there you go. You got five bored news writers from the Examiner who began this club in 1872.
Good fellowship kind of reminds me of the Masons.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
Another boys club.
Yeah.
All right, now that aspiration went down the drain when membership was extended to show people, and by 1878, the year of the first GrowFest, the journalists were already on their way out. Anthony C. Sutton, we're fast-forwarding to October of 1996. Sutton, the editor of an excellent monthly newsletter, the Phoenix Letter, stated, "Up to a few months ago, our knowledge of Bohemian Grove, the exclusive elite hideaway by supposedly adult wheeler dealers, a.k.a. Washington statesmen and prominent people, all male. We dismissed the behavior as immature, even pitiful, by emotionally disturbed juveniles and not worth attention. This is where Kissinger, Ford, Nixon, Bechtel, Bush, Cheney, Hoover and their friends, and another 2,600 members, hang out and, quote, relax. And if they want to behave as little boys, that is their privilege. It is private property."
Okay, that much we... So I'm dying to know who owns it, though.
At this time. All right, yeah, I told you who started. Okay, well, then we'll find out. And maybe we won't. Let's see. Recent information, most of it from Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, and we'll get into that later. The information may radically change this perception of Bohemian Grove. Not merely drunkenness, unabounded use of alcohol and drugs with vague homosexual tones. This is in parentheses confirmed by our sources. But reported activities much more serious. Kidnapping, rape, pedophilia, sodomy, ritual murder. Investigation is blocked under the 1947 National Security Act. And like the Omaha child abuse case, which we'll be getting into, includes illegal detention of children. For decades, there have been vague rumors of weird goings-on in the Bohemian Grove and more remote parts of its 2,200 acres. Reliable reports claim druid-like rituals, druids in red hooded robes marching in procession and chanting to the great Al Moloch. A funeral pyre with, quote, corpses are also included. It says in here, parentheses also, scores of men work in the Bohemian Grove as servants, so this party is fairly well established. An article in a local community newspaper, the Santa Rosa Sun, in July 1993, reported on the cult of Canaan and the legend of Moloch in place at Bohemian Grove. The Moloch pagan cult of sacrifice is human sacrifice. About the mid-1980s, there were rumors of murders in remote parts of the property. A local police investigation went nowhere. State investigators on related criminal acts went nowhere. According to an observer and near victim who can describe the Bohemian Grove inner hideaways, the closed sanctum, even the decor at secret locations, places where no outsider goes, there is an underground lodge, and get this, Dr. Swain, underground is spelt with capital U dot, capital N dot, underground. As in
United Nations.
All right, there is a dark room, a leather room, and a necrophilia room. Here is one of O'Brien's quotes. "Slaves of advancing age or with failed programming were sacrificially murdered at random in the wooded groves of Bohemian Grove, and I felt it was only a matter of time until it would be me." A little more on Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. The book, Transformation of America, and that is spelled T-R-A-N-C-E as a separate word, Transformation of America is an autobiography by Kathy O'Brien with Mark Phillips. Kathy and her 8-year-old daughter were rescued from their mind-controlled existence in 1988 and taken to Alaska by Mark Phillips for safety and rehabilitation. She and her top daughter were victims of the U.S. Government Defense Intelligence Agency top secret MKUltra Project Monarch, which is mind control. Kathy became a White House, quote, presidential model, unquote, mind control slave. And later on, her very young daughter was included in this evil mind control project and was physically, sexually, and mentally tortured by the pinstripe suit leaders of the most powerful organization in the world, our U.S. government. I will not take this space. This is the author of this. And by the way, let us tell you that this was taken from the website www.4rie.com. I cannot...
How's this tying in with... What we just started,
Bohemian Grove?
Is there a connect there?
Yeah, because what they feel is happening is that mind control subjects that the government are producing are going to Bohemian Grove.
Being tested.
Well, and they're being used, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And under the MKUltra situation or under mind control, apparently your brain gets compartmentalized so that one of your personalities doesn't really know what the other one is doing. Let's see. I will not take this space to tell you the entire story, but it's much more alarming as it is related by Kathy in this very disturbing book. All these world leaders who have all the creature comforts that they could ever desire look around for something new and interesting to do to amuse themselves. Is it not reasonable to assume that they eventually will revert to pagan ritual rites, mind control, pedophilia, necrophilia, homosexuality, bestiality, prostitution, and yes, human sacrifice? Now, what I'm going to read from is the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. A subtitle, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. And this ties in directly to Bohemian Grove. Although at the time the author wrote it, he did not realize that where these children were explaining where they were being taken to was in fact Bohemian Grove. And what we are not intimating but telling you directly is that our leadership, our elite, are going out to Bohemian Grove and engaging in all these activities because they basically are above the law.
Now, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Who's the author of the book?
All right. The author is John W. DeCamp. He was a state senator in Nebraska who came upon a scandal originally around the Franklin Credit Union.
Okay.
And then it evolved into something much bigger.
Okay.
That even involved children being taken from the legendary Boys Town.
Okay.
All right. The Franklin Credit Union scandal, centered in Omaha, opens a window into the hideous world of child abuse and of organized illegal drug peddling, patronized and protected by powerful figures in politics and business. National media interest in the case flickered in 1988 when the Franklin Community Federal Credit Union was raided by federal agencies and shut down. Franklin's manager was Lawrence E. Larry King Jr., No relation to
Larry Seltzer.
No. Okay. At that time, he was 44, a rising star in state and national Republican circles, an officer of the National Black Republican Council. King sang the national anthem at the GOP national conventions in 1984 and 1988. Nearly $40 million was missing from the coffers of the small, ostensibly community-oriented credit union. This financial scandal turned into something more when it became known that children from Omaha and its surroundings were being flown from city to city to be abused at parties held by Franklin's officers and well-known Nebraskans, including nationally prominent Republican Party activists. Quote, a lurid, mysterious scandal begins taking shape in Omaha, unquote, headlined the New York Times.
This stuff is so bizarre, it's almost difficult to believe.
Well, it's...
But that's what, like you said earlier, the bizarreness of it is what people are looking for.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is lurid, and there's a certain, I guess, titillating quality about this, but it's...
Pretty...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The camp had written a memo, basically also bringing suit against the principals involved, and they would be... Omaha World Herald editor Harold Anderson, Larry King of the dead Franklin Credit Union, former Omaha Police Chief Robert Wadman, media personality Peter Citrone, ex-Sarban, and that's Nebraska backwards, a little ha-ha there, ex-Sarban financier and bluest of the Blue Bloods, Alan Bear, and that's just for starters. Now, I'm just going to recite what happened to a certain child that was abused. His name was Paul Bonacci. From very early childhood, Paul Bonacci was subjected to tortures as profound as any the Nazis inflicted on their captives. This is not merely a comparison, rather it is an actual continuation, as we shall see. From sexual degradation, from witnessing and forced participation in satanic cult murders, Bonacci suffered the cracking of his mind into what is called multiple personality disorder, or MPD. Tens of thousands of American children have been diagnosed MPDs. Virtually all of them are thought to have resulted from sexual abuse, of which perhaps 85% were cases of satanic ritual abuse. In one instance detailed in the Franklin cover-up, Paul, and this is Bonacci, was taken by Larry King and others to a wooded area in California, identified after publication as the Bohemian Grove. There, Paul and another boy were forced to do sex acts with and to consume parts of a child whom they had watched being murdered by the cultists.
Yeah.
And this is what's really going to rock you, Dr. Swain. The body was to be disposed of by, quote, the men with the hoods, unquote. And then a, quote, snuff, unquote, pornography film was made of these events. It was directed by a man the party had picked up in Las Vegas, whom Paul identified as Hunter Thompson. The same name as a well-known sleaze culture figure. I mean, I find that rather disappointing because you and I are both aficionados of Thompson's work, and he's we feel a brilliant,
funny. Yeah, that just
funny,
totally blows me away right there. You're right. And, I'm astounded at that.
And I'm going to have to say that DeCamp was in interview with Alex Jones. And by the way, that website is www.infowars.com. And I believe we both heard this interview, although we were not together at the time, in which DeCamp realizes that where these kids were being taken by the physical description that Jones was listening to
right.
was Bohemian Grove.
I can remember Jones telling him that, you know, that's Bohemian Grove, you know. In other words, Jones was becoming excited at the fact that...
Yeah, he was... Right, and we listened to this evolve as the two of them were talking. All right, here is... And this is going to be graphic. And this is only one case. The problem is a lot of times... When kids come forward with tales of sexual abuse, and it's even widespread as it was in this case, what happens is lawyers and the government or whoever's trying to defend the case is saying, well, you guys just shared the same story.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is that, let's face it, as hard as it can be, there's just so many things you can do with the human body sexually. So if they go ahead and state the same things, I mean, it is a finite situation.
Right.
All right. On May 14, 1990, Caridori, they refer to, and this is Gary Caridori, he was the chief investigator for the Legislative Franklin Committee. Caridori also wound up dying in a plane crash on July 11, 1990, and it was under suspicious circumstances, you can imagine. All right, Caridori took a video statement from Bonacci, and this is what Bonacci said, and this is going to be graphic, so just understand that. Gruesome as it is, Bonacci's report harks back to the early cries for help from Loretta Smith, whose also complaints went unattended. I went in January of 84 on every trip. I was paid by men King knew for sex. In the summer of 84, sometime I went to Dallas, Texas, and had sex with several men King knew in a hotel. I flew on YNR Airlines and CAM Airlines normally for King. I never had much personally to do with King, only went where he told me to go. This is a complete transcript, so there's some what you would call sick statements in
right.
SICs, okay?
Right.
In or on July 26th, I went to Sacramento, California. King flew me out on a private plane from Epley Airfield in Omaha to Denver, where we picked up Nicholas, a boy who was about 12 or 13. Then we flew to Las Vegas to a desert strip and drove into Las Vegas and to some ranch and got something, then flew on to Sacramento. We were picked up by a white limo and taken to a hotel. I don't remember the name of it. We, meaning Nicholas, and I were driven to an area that had big trees, and this is where they get the clue. It's Bohemian Grove. It took about an hour to get there. There was a cage with a boy in it who was not wearing anything. Nicholas and I were given these Tarzan things to put around us and stuff. They told me to fuck the boy and stuff. At first I said no, and they held a gun to my balls and said do it or else lose them or something like that. I began doing it to the boy and stuff. And Nicholas had anal sex and stuff with him. We were told to fuck him and stuff and beat on him. I didn't try to hurt him. We were told to put our dicks in his mouth and stuff and sit on the boy's penis and stuff, and they filmed it. We did this stuff to the boy for about 30 minutes or an hour when a man came in and kicked us and stuff in the balls and picked us up and threw us. He grabbed the boy and started fucking him and stuff. The man was about 10 inches long. And he's not talking about his height.
Yeah, yeah.
And the boy screamed and stuff, and the man was forcing his dick into the boy all the way. The boy was bleeding from his rectum, and the men tossed him and me and stuff and put the boy right next to me and grabbed the gun and blew the boy's head off. The boy's blood was all over me, and I started yelling and crying. The men grabbed Nicholas and I and forced us to lie down. They put the boy on top of Nicholas, who was crying, and they were putting Nicholas' hands on the boy's ass. They put the boy on top of me and did the same thing. Then they forced me to fuck the dead boy up his ass, and also Nicholas. They put a gun to our heads to make us do it. His blood was all over us. They made us kiss the boy's lips and to eat him out. Then they made me do something I don't even want to write, so I won't. I don't know what could possibly worse than what we've just heard. I think I do. And that would have to do with, I would think, the skull.
Yeah.
After that, the men grabbed Nicholas and drug him off, screaming. They put me up against a tree and put a gun to my head, but fire into the air. I heard another shot from somewhere. I then saw the man who killed the boy drag him like a toy. Everything, including when the men put the boy in a trunk, was filmed. They took me with them, and we went up in a plane. I saw the bag the boy was in. We went over a very thick brush area with a clearing in it. Over the clearing, they dropped the boy. One said the men with the hoods would take care of the body for them. I didn't see Nicholas until that night at the hotel. He and I hugged and held each other for a long while. About 2 hours later, the men or Larry King came in and told us to go take a shower since we had only been hosed off at some guy's house. We took a shower together, and then we were told to put on the Tarzan things. After we were cleaned up and dressed in these things, we were told to put on shorts, socks, and a shirt and shoes and driven to a house where the men were at with some others. They had film and they played it. As the men watched, they passed Nicholas and I around as if we were toys and sexually abused us. They made Nicholas and I screw each other, and one of the men put the dead boy's penis in mine and Nicholas's mouth. I didn't want to write this because the man forced me to bite the boy's penis and balls off. It was gross, and I saw the film where it happened and started freaking out, remembering what they made us do afterwards to the boy. They showed us doing everything to the boy. I was there for about 5 days attending parties, but my only recall cutting my wrist, which is why I stayed 2 days in a hospital under a name I can't recall. Some guy paid for me. And lastly, in another testimony, Bonacci said that Larry King was smiling and laughing the whole time the film was being shown, and that, quote, the men with the hoods, unquote, were a satanic group which planned to use the dead boy in some sort of ceremony. He also named the director of the snuff film, who they had picked up in Las Vegas, as Hunter Thompson.
So I'm like, how do people sit on stuff like that? I mean, information-wise, if, you know, how is Hunter Thompson, you know, getting filmed on NBC and interviewed and sitting at,
I mean, when they name the names of those who still go to Bohemian Grove, how can they take part?
I know.
And we really encourage you to go to Infowars.com because there is a link right at the top of the homepage where you go into photos of Bohemian Grove. Alex Jones sneaked in. He took video of it, of which stills were made. And you can see them with their hoods on, in their ritual ceremonies with their supposed mock sacrifice, and there's a lot of conjecture as to whether that's a mock sacrifice or not. Right.
And I've seen the pictures on the website. So, again, that's InfoWar, as in one word, InfoWars, rather, .com. And I hate to be hawking somebody else's site, but you got to give the guy high marks. He went in there and did it, you know. So.
This really breaks it open. And when you see that taking place, there's no two ways about it. But to get back to what we were saying with how can this be covered up, well, how is anything covered up nowadays? I mean, the media is bought out. The mainstream is worthless. And all these characters know that they basically are indemnified against any kind of exposure. But, I mean, depravity never left the human species.
Yeah.
All that was talked about in the days of Moloch the first time around in the Old Testament times has not gone away.
Now, what's the significance of Moloch, the owl?
The Canaanites were given the promised land. And there was a time, I believe, when Moses parted from them, and they despaired. And when Moses came back, I believe this is it. Okay,
yeah.
He looks back at them, and that's when. And what are they doing? They are sacrificing children to Moloch, which is a big owl.
Owl, but I guess what's the significance of the owl as opposed to
just a deity,
to a big rat or something? You know, okay.
I don't know that the owl itself has any kind of significance. I mean, since then, it has always been obviously tied into a death imagery symbol. But as far as why they chose Moloch back then, I do not know. That's fodder for another whole story or another whole show.
That's just incredible.
It's sick.
Yeah.
It's sick beyond belief, and most people won't believe this because their brain won't allow them. We can understand that, but that doesn't make it not true.
Well, I know I'll be digging around for more information on that, that's for sure. So.
And we'll also visit how in another show, just how intensified and how worldwide the use of children are for sexual abuse.
And it makes you wonder, you know, you're talking about abuse of children. Have you noticed, or is it just me, that there's been a major upsurge in the amount of child abductions going on?
Actually, the numbers dropped off. But now, it's very interesting you should say that, because the media is definitely playing up every one that takes place. And there is a local newsman who believes the reason that is to usher in the chip.
Okay.
So it's gone down some, but it's being reported at this very time.
Okay. So what you're saying is it's being reported in a similar fashion as shark bites were a couple of years ago.
There you go. Yes.
Now, the reality is that, okay.
But with the purpose, I believe, of getting the chip in
getting
the kids.
People. Well, I remember, I want to say 2-3 years ago, Lori and I, wife, give away the name, were riding down to St. Pete for Christmas and listening to Alex Jones, and it wasn't the Bohemian Grove thing at the time. I forget who his guest was, and it was a woman, and they were discussing the amount of the missing children and what these, you know, pretty much like you said, these are being sold into sex slaves and trades and across the border. And who can be sure, but possibly these two girls that managed to get away here just a couple of days ago were on their way to Mexico and where they'd never be seen or heard from again, or to places like Bohemian Grove, you know.
This is an aside, and it could be a coincidence, but what started all this, or the attention rather, was, I believe, was the Polly Kleist abduction and murder. And her body was found only a short distance from Bohemian Grove.
Right.
Now, that could
be
a coincidence,
just
honestly.
Sure, sure.
But there you go.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. I don't know. It's kind of hard to recap something as gruesome, I guess, as that. But the only thing I guess I can do is, once again, is reiterate that people need to dig around. I'm a firm believer, even though Timothy Leary a lot of times was considered to be out there. He always had a comment that I always appreciated, and that was always question authority. And people don't ask enough questions. They just kind of, you know, if it isn't on NBC Nightly News, it's probably too fantastic to believe.
Well, you have to admit, this is completely off the chart. I mean, when you think about necrophilia, I mean, my Lord. And basically what Paul Bonacci was referring to is something he can't even talk about, is they probably penetrated some cranial orifices with their
it's
genitals.
It's disgusting. And then of course, takes me back to my friend, Mr. Thompson. And wasn't he arrested or charged with some sort of child endangerment thing back in Colorado? Where he had some underage 15-year-old or a kid.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that,
with
this,
you know, with a hot tub with all coked up and, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a shame that, you know. Well, listen, you're going to have to take the news. But I have to say something, and that is the camp was never sued. Or rather, let me say this.
Yeah.
Had he ever been sued for slander or libel, he never
lost. I'm amazed the guy's still alive.
Well, and that's Bill Colby, the late Bill Colby, CIA director, was a friend of the camp and warned him, you may not want to do this. And ironically and sadly, Colby wound up supposedly left on a canoe trip with his dinner on the table.
Yeah, assumed room temperature, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty incredible. I'm going to have to think about this. And in the meantime, you guys think about it. And as we said before, if you want to listen to this and other archived versions of the show, you can find it on pascoradio.org. Click on the archive page, and then you can replay these things to your heart's content. And with that, we will see you next time. From the Grassy Knoll is a production of Dade City Community Radio. This program highlights pertinent issues deliberately not reported by our managed information service. You are encouraged to rebroadcast this show on local grassroots, non-commercial stations. Also, you are invited to comment on this and other programs by emailing us at dcmicroradio@aol.com. For Dade City Community Radio, I'm Dr. Swain. Please fasten your seatbelts.